This subject is most interesting because it gives you the ability and the power to do something about family members who are not saved and family members who are not serving God. Now, I heard something the other day that was truthful. It is scriptural, and yet it is very disturbing. And it was in relation to Mark 11:24, indicating that you can have whatever you say. And the speaker said, and I wholeheartedly compare because I believe in the sovereignty of God, that your faith will not violate another's will. Now, you can pray and you can confess and you can have and say things concerning the salvation of other family members, but you must realize that they are an individual that has a will. And if you have a free will, then they have a free choice. And if they have a free choice, then your faith cannot violate that will. So you say, well, Brother Garrison, is it futile then for me to pray for my family members if my faith will not violate their will? In other words, they have a free will and God is sovereign, and so I can pray all I want to, but they have to make the choice. That's right. But no, no, 1,000 times no, prayer is not futile. It is a... While you cannot violate their will through your faith, you can register your prayer with God, and God can change circumstances in their life. Now, what I'm saying, you have to understand very closely. I am not saying that prayer will not help your unsaved loved ones. It will. I'm simply saying in the final analysis, they have a free choice, but you can pray that God will arrange circumstances. And in the case that I'm going to talk about for the next few days, that God will actually build a hedge around these people, whether they be a son, a daughter, a niece, a nephew, or a husband, or a wife, or a grandparent, God can build a hedge around them. And actually, I'm going to talk about a hedge of thorns at one point in this series, and it's going to be very interesting. And when they start straying, God will prick them with conviction and move them in the right direction. Now, I don't believe you want to miss 1 minute of what I'm going to say. To set the scriptural foundation for what I'm going to say, you must look at Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. Now, Ezekiel, in chapter 22, verse 30, says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge that I should not destroy. Now, there is the mention of that word, hedge. The scriptural basis for the hedge of thorns is found in several passages. But first of all, you must look at the intercessor who made up a hedge of protection. And when you look at that, you have to realize that the story that I refer to is in the book of Job. So I said we will be talking about a thorn, a hedge of thorns, but first we have to set the stage and let you know that there are several hedges in the Bible, and there is a hedge of protection. Now, in the book of Job, chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 6, Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered thy servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and hateth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and says, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge, there's that mention, an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side, that thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in his land. So you see, this hedge was a protective covering. It included the protection not only over Job, but his family, his sons and daughters. Actually, at one point, whom he feared had cursed God in their hearts. The result was that God made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had on every side. Now, with this hedge, Satan was not able to take anyone in Job's family captive at his will. So you must realize that this hedge of protection is very, very important. And if you're going to see your family members saved, if you have an unfaithful partner that is not faithful to the marriage vows of which he or she committed themselves to on the origination of your marriage pact, then you need to understand, first of all, what the hedge of protection, the hedge of thorns is. Secondly, how you can ask God to form a hedge around that unfaithful partner or around that ungodly child. And I believe that hedge can be important in bringing them to their point of salvation. Last time we talked about the hedge of protection, and I referred to Job. Today I want to talk about a hedge of thorns for an unfaithful partner. A young man discovered that his wife was secretly seeing another man. She would meet him on business trips, spend long hours after work with him. And for months she had neglected her home responsibilities, such as making meals, fixing for the children, whatever. The man learned about this principle, the hedge of thorns, that he could claim in prayer for his wife, and one day used it. That evening when he got home from work, his wife was in the kitchen making her first meal in 4 months. Praise the Lord. The wife of a young pastor left him and began working in a bar. She was planning to marry the barkeeper. The grieving husband learned how to pray for a hedge of thorns around his wife, and 3 days later, his wife called him up and was ready to return home. I've only given you two illustrations out of the files of Bill Gothard, The Basic Youth Conflict, of how that people used a hedge of thorns. Now, Christians are experiencing, as a result of building a hedge of thorn or a hedge of protection around their loved ones, that God is actually doing what he said he would do, and there is results. Now, whenever you think about a hedge of thorns, you cannot exclude the story of Hosea and Gomer in the book of Hosea. She was the wife of this Old Testament prophet. She was an adulterous woman. And if you will turn to Hosea chapter 2, verses 6 through 16, you'll find the story there as it begins to unfold. How God gives us a graphic illustration of how the hedge of thorns really works. God built a hedge of thorns around Gomer, Hosea's unfaithful wife. Through his prayer and his faithfulness to God, God actually built a hedge of thorns around her, and all of her lovers left her, and she decided to return to her husband. Now, if she was to remain under his authority and protection, there were several things that she had, that he had to do. Now, you have to understand that once you have prayed this prayer, and once God has given you victory, then there is another step in the process. Some of it depends, now listen to me closely, not only on you, or on them, excuse me, but on you. Now listen, after God built a hedge of thorns around Gomer, and all of her lovers left her, then there was something Hosea had to do. Now, some of us have cried and prayed and begged God, and some of you have asked God that you would have a restoration of love in your family and that your unfaithful partner would come back. But let me tell you, this is alarming. I know you've been hurt. I know you've been rejected. I know you probably feel unloved and paranoid because you've had your attention and your love thrown asunder because of an unfaithful partner. But when you pray and build a hedge of thorns and they come back, listen to what God wanted Hosea to do in Hosea chapter 2, verse 14. After she came back, therefore, behold, Hosea speaking, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her vineyards from thence, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Isha, and shalt call me no more Belia. Now you think about that. Even after Hosea had been rejected, his wife had thwarted all of his attempts to reconcile their marriage, and then God put a hedge of thorns, then he was responsible for doing something. Let me tell you, when God puts a hedge of thorns around somebody, begins to move them back in the right direction, something happens. That hedge of thorns will make that unfaithful partner lose direction. I will hedge up thy way with thorns, the Bible says, and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. A hedge of thorns will make everybody else that an unfaithful partner is interested in a way that is unseemingly to the marriage vow, it'll make them lose interest. Listen to what happened in Hosea. She shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. And this hedge of thorns will prompt that unfaithful partner to return. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. Now, friend, that's what a hedge of thorns will do. And when it brings results, then you must do what Hosea did. You must speak comfortably. You must allow them not condemnation, but a restoration of love. Today I want to give the spiritual counterpart to the hedge of thorns that I have been talking about. The New Testament counterpart to this truth is illustrated in Christ's intercession for Peter and for his disciples. Now, if you'll remember, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 31 and 32, Jesus said, Satan hath desired to have you, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith will not fail. Now, when Satan wanted to sift Peter, Jesus said, I prayed for you. In other words, I am building a hedge around you, and hedge of protection. A hedge of thorns that will keep you in the center and will keep Satan from invading. Jesus not only prayed for Peter, but he also prayed for his disciples in John chapter 17. In verse 12, he says, none were lost because of his hedge of prayer, but the son of perdition to fulfill scripture. Now think about this. None were lost because of his hedge of prayer. Now, you think about the importance and the implication of what I have just said, and if Jesus built a hedge of prayer around his disciples, if he built a hedge of protection around Peter, then I believe we can use his example and actually build a hedge around our family that God would see them saved, delivered, protected, and keep them in the center of his will. Now, the basic teaching on the hedge is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, the purpose of binding Satan and building a hedge of thorns or protection around your family is so that you can proceed casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And some of you have been very concerned, and you've been very frustrated, and you've been very worried about family members. I'm giving you an actual plan of attack, a strategic plan that you can put into operation. For when you do what Jesus did, and you put this hedge of protection around your family, then you realize that your weapons, this hedge is not carnal, but it is mighty and actually pulls down the strongholds of Satan. Now, there are a number of cases, and there are many examples, where family members who were Christian built a hedge of thorns around family members who were not Christian. There are examples of people who built hedges of thorns around unfaithful partners or around sinful and wayward teenagers. And we find that this hedge of thorns has brought them back. They have lost direction in the world. Their friends in sin have lost interest in them. A lot of young people come to me and they say, "Alton, how am I going to tell my friends if I get saved? How will I talk to them? How will they understand? What will I do?" Well, you just don't have to worry. If you get a hedge built around you and you really get turned on to Jesus Christ, you won't have to tell them. They'll know it. And you won't have to leave them unless they want to change and get Jesus in their heart. They'll leave you. Many times this hedge of protection has prompted people to return. If you don't think so, then look at the story of the prodigal. And when he was in that muck and mire, that pigsty, he said, "My father's servants fare better than I do. I'm going to get up and go home." But unless the partner, the parent, the son, the daughter, now listen to me closely, unless you follow some very essential steps, there is a strong possibility that Satan will regain a foothold in your family member's life. Now, do you hear what I'm saying? I am not only putting the responsibility on God, I'm not only putting the responsibility of change on that sinful partner or that sinful son or that unfaithful partner or that teenager that's rebellious. I am going to put some responsibility on your shoulders. Now, you must listen very closely. Now, a hedge of protection will be ineffective if you, the one that formed the hedge through prayer, have not resolved all past offenses. Now, if when they come back into reconciliation, you want to bring up the past, you're going to destroy that hedge. If you're constantly bringing up the failure of your son or daughter or your parent, you're going to destroy that hedge. If you're constantly bringing up the mistake of infidelity of your marriage partner after they've made reconciliation, repented, and you've repaired it, if you go back, you're going to destroy that hedge. Plus, there are some scriptural steps of action that you must follow to retain that hedge of protection. Some very definite steps, and I want to give them to you, and I believe you can follow them. I stated last time that I was going to tell you your responsibility as the person of prayer that built the hedge of protection around your family or around your partner. Now, your hedge will not be effective if you've not resolved all past offenses, and you must follow these steps. They're very, very essential. Number one, for your hedge of protection around your family, for your hedge of thorns to bring a family member back into right relationship or to bring them to God, first of all, you must make sure that you are a genuine Christian. Now, God only hears the prayers of his own children. Now, we become a child of God only through putting our full faith and trust for salvation in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, in his dying for us and his being raised from the dead. For the Bible says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now that's Romans 5 and 8. "Not by works of righteousness" is Titus 3 and 5. Romans 10 and 9 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." So, if you are wanting to build a hedge of protection or a hedge of thorns to bring back an unfaithful partner, you must first be a Christian. If you're wanting your teenager to get deliverance from drugs, if you're wanting your teenager to get deliverance from booze, if you're wanting your teenager to get deliverance from immorality, then you, to build a hedge around them of thorns to move them back to repentance, you must be a Christian. Number two, you must cleanse your life of all sin. Now, God delighted in building a hedge of protection around Job and all his family and possessions because Job was a perfect and an upright man. The Bible says, one that feared God and hated evil.
Now, we can claim the righteousness of Christ as Christians by confessing our sins and cleansing our minds, life, and home of anything that grieves the Holy Spirit and hinders His work in our life. The Bible says, make no provision, or make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, Romans 13 and 14. Do you see what I'm saying? I am putting a condition on this promise. If you want God to build a hedge around your family, if you want a hedge of thorns around someone who's in sin that you love very much, then you must cleanse your life of sin. Make no provision for the flesh. Make no provision for sin to fulfill the lust thereof. Number three, if you want your hedge to be protective, you not only must be a Christian, you not only must cleanse your life of sin, but thirdly, you must actually build a hedge of thorns by prayer. Now, if you're tuning in today, you probably have no idea of what I'm talking about, this hedge of thorns, and I cannot go back and reiterate, but we have set a scriptural basis of what a hedge is, what God says about a hedge, how Jesus used the hedge to put protection around Peter and also around his disciples, and now I'm telling you, you must be specific and build a hedge of thorns by prayer. You say, well, Brother Garrison, I'd love to do that, but I'm not certain how. Well, I'm going to pray a prayer and show you. I'll just tell you this prayer. This prayer is very effective, and you, if you can't remember it, you better get a copy of this tape. Just say, Heavenly Father, I ask you in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus to build a hedge of thorns around. Now, if you want it around your son, put it your son, or around your husband, or your wife, or your daughter, or whomever. Just say, build a hedge of thorns around my family member. I pray that through this hedge, any friend in sin, or if it's for a hedge of protection of thorns around a family member that is unsaved, any unsaved friends will lose interest and depart. I base this prayer on your word, which commands that what you have joined together, no man can put asunder. So if God has given you that son, has given you that daughter, then you have a right to pray that God would protect them and send them back to you. If you're praying for an unfaithful partner and there's infidelity in the marriage, just simply pray that through the hedge of thorns, any partner or any person or any lover that they have become involved with will lose interest and depart. Because the Word of God commands that what He has joined together, no man should put asunder. Now you see what I'm doing? I'm praying a very specific prayer about the hedge of thorns. Number four, you must restore a spirit of oneness. Did you hear me? Restore a spirit of oneness. Some people's homes is chaotic. It's nothing more but a motel where people, family members, come in to change clothes and eat a bite. There is no fellowship. There is no communication. Sons, daughters do not speak more than 5 or 10 words unless they want something to their parents. Parents don't speak anything to the children. In many cases, husbands and wives are divided in interest. Jobs tear them apart. If you want to build a hedge of protection around your family, restore a spirit of oneness. If you're praying for an unfaithful partner, then you follow through on your prayer by getting along with your partner and doing what the Bible says in the book of Hosea, where Hosea says, after Gomer came back to him, he said, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness using gentle, kind, and loving words, speaking comfortably unto her. Committing yourself to your partner's needs and visualizing hope. Restoring your partner's happiness. Restoring a spirit of deep friendship. This is what you ought to do to restore the spirit of oneness. If you're dealing with children or you're dealing with a parent, then you make the home a place that is happy. You restore the joy of that relationship you had to them. You speak kind words to them. You make yourself proud and make them know you're proud that you're their father, you're their mother, you're their son, you're their daughter, or you're their husband, or you're their wife. And then number five, cast down wrong reasoning. Cast down wrong reasoning. In the spirit of fellowship and friendship, cast down false reasonings in the mind of other family members by wisely using God's word. Together, as a family, bring every thought into captivity into the obedience of Jesus Christ. Now, these are five methods, five ways, five scriptural principles that you can use to actually keep that hedge around your family member.
The prayer for a hedge involves three parts. Now, if you're going to build a hedge of protection around the family, a hedge of protection around an unfaithful partner, a hedge of protection around a son or a daughter, it will involve three parts. Number one, your spiritual credentials. Now, we're able to approach a holy God through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no righteousness of your own. You're unworthy. But through Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, he has already defeated Satan's power. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, on the basis of this, we pray in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 16:23, you pray to the Father using the name of Jesus. So your prayer for a hedge must include your spiritual credentials. In other words, you must be able to cite to Satan that you have authority and ability to pray. Why? Not because of your own righteousness, not because of your own goodness, not even because of your own worthiness, but because God said you could. And there's the scripture. Secondly, your prayer of a hedge will involve your request. It will depend upon your request. Now, what do you mean by that, Brother Garrison? So many times we pray in generalities. Dear Lord, save our unsaved loved ones, and we go to bed. That's about the only extent. But if you want God to build a hedge of thorns around your family partner, around your family member, around somebody that you love, be more precise about it. Be very specific. The more precise we are in our prayer, the more able we are to judge its scriptural basis, and the more alert we will be in seeing his answer to it. Now, James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. Now, yesterday I actually gave you a model or sample prayer on how to pray a prayer that would build a hedge of thorns around a family member. Now, if you remember that, then you actually have a model prayer. Now, you don't have to pray exactly the prayer I prayed, but you must be specific. And thirdly, the hedge, the prayer for a hedge, will involve your spiritual authority. Every request must be based on the will of God as revealed in His Word. You must know what the will of God is. Now, if you're praying for the salvation of a family member, you already know what the will of God is. It is His will that they be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to forgiveness. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. The prophet of old said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, you must base your prayer on your scriptural authority. And the Bible reveals that God's word is the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17. And Christians are able to overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, Revelation 12:11. So, the plan is there. Once you have prayed the prayer, the steps are there for you to retain that victory. And if you are praying for a partner, if you're a husband or wife and you're praying for a partner, the steps that God gives to win a wayward partner are found in the book of Hosea. I've gone over them before. But I believe that God will help you even now. I don't believe that I presented this as just mere coincidence. But I do believe God is concerned about you. I believe He's concerned about your frustration, about your concern and fear concerning unsaved loved ones. For about 12 or 14 years, there was a man that was an alcoholic. It seemed that there was no way he could get loose from that habit. He had brothers and sisters. Only one served the Lord. Now, none were as deep in sin as he was, but they were all sinners.
That family, that group of brothers and sisters, came from a family where one member, the mother, was very godly. She prayed continually. There was not one night that one family member could come into that home without finding her either on her knees praying or sitting in a chair with a Bible in her lap. She actually was building a hedge of thorns around that family. Now, she died an early death by standards today. But before she died, this godly woman of prayer, she called her daughter into her side and says, "Don't worry about your father," speaking about her husband. "I've prayed for him, and God's going to save him. And don't worry about your brothers and sisters. I prayed for them, and God's going to save them." And a few days later, she slipped into eternity. Now, her husband had never had any association or interest in God. He was a lawman by vocation. He was a man that was very vile, very wicked, full of profanity. And as time rocked on, that hedge of thorns began to work. That hedge that she had built began to pull and close in around him. It took a while, but at the age of 70 years old, he walked into a church where he knew she'd be had she been alive. He was lonely, he was frustrated, he was confused, and he was empty. And an evangelist stood and sang "The Master of Blue Galilee," and he walked out and gave his life to Jesus Christ and spent the last 2 years of his life a Christian. That drunken son, that wayward boy that I told you about, that hedge of thorns began to move in around him, began to close in around him. And one day, riding along in an automobile, thought he was dying, thought he was having a heart attack, he had bumped up against one of those thorns. That godly mother had built that hedge, and now it was closing in around him. He said, "God, I'm going to die, and I don't want to die because I've got a child coming. The doctor said we'd never have a baby, and now we're going to have a baby in about 5 months. I want to see that child. Would you spare my life?" He thought he was having a heart attack. That hedge of thorns was closing in around him. He looked up to heaven, and he said, "Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Spare my life to see that child, and if I ever take another drop of liquor as long as I live, I want you to poison me and let me drop dead." And Jesus saved him. Hallelujah. Another family member walked down an aisle. A hedge of thorns drew her to Jesus. Another family member walked down an aisle, and a family was one together. That is so precious to me because I'm a product. That woman I talk about is my grandmother. That man that got saved at 70 was my grandfather. That alcoholic that got saved was my father, and he's now preaching the gospel. That other one that got saved is my uncle. He's now a Christian businessman. I'm telling you, those aunts are saved. We had a family reunion some time ago. I think there were 22 or 27 descendants. And I believe that every person there, with maybe the exception of one, was a born-again believer, and most were spirit-filled. Come on, friend, don't tell me that God doesn't answer prayer. My grandmother actually built a hedge of thorns around her entire family. She built a hedge of prayer around her entire family, and prayed. Praise God, we are saved today, and many of us in the ministry. Praise God for that hedge of thorns. If you want me to help you pray, I'll do it now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I join my faith with my friend, and I believe that you are going to undertake in their behalf. You're going to build a hedge right now around that unsaved son, around that unsaved daughter, around that unsaved partner, around that unsaved niece, that unsaved nephew, that unsaved grandparent, or unsaved parent. I pray now that my faith will be joined. And just as certainly as my godly grandmother said, I'm building a hedge, I'm praying a prayer, I'm laying up the prayer in heaven, as that hedge of thorns begin to crowd that family to Jesus Christ. No, her prayer could not violate our will. But, oh God, you can create situations that would crowd us to Christ, and those thorns would prick us and move us in the right direction, even as the prodigal son